You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, we enter into a segment that we've been waiting for. We've got our wonderful sister, Cassandra Cachetta. I pronounced her name wrong this morning, but Cassandra, I'm so thankful for her. She's an amazing source of encouragement for us on the staff team, and we're very, very glad she's with us. And praise God. Let's give her a warm welcome as she walks onto stage.
Thank you, Simon. Good evening, everyone. Yes, it is true. It happened to be Simon was the one. So this is my second time being blessed enough to be able to share here. And the first time it was Simon who introduced me, and it was Cassetta. And then he was the one to introduce me. It just so happened this morning for my second time, and again it was Cassetta. As I did clarify, two C's in Italian make a ch, hence Cachetta, like pancetta or cheddar. Cheese, even though that's CH. Anyway, you get the point. Cachetta is my name. But for those of you who haven't met me, my name is Cass, and I have the privilege of overseeing the young adults here, as well as being a part of the team that oversees our services and events. And it really is a joy to be able to share with you this evening just a word that I feel God has placed on my heart for myself and for all of us that are here. And so, yeah, it's a real joy to be able to do this and to have this opportunity. I don't take it lightly, and I feel very humbled to be able to do it and to have the opportunity to share with you guys. But before I do, I just wanted to do a quick update. This is just for the young adults, just because I can. We are starting our CGs again this week. So Wednesday night and Thursday night is when our CGs meet. But we're going to be jumping into doing our CGs fortnightly because we're going to be launching a new type of night called Foundation Night. And this is our first one's going to be on the 13th of Feb, 7:30 here at church. And we're just going to try doing these fortnightly. So these will be all-in nights where we can eat food, hang out, spend time together, hear the word, pray together. And on the 13th of Feb, I'm going to be explaining a little bit about the direction for young adults just for the next, say, 6 months or so, and just talk a little bit about where we're going. So it would be my joy to have you there if you're a young adult, whether you're in a CG or not. Everybody is welcome. So I just thought I would share that before we get into it. But we're in our final week of the Summer Best Hits series. And so we've heard some really encouraging messages over the past few weeks. And I'm actually here to wrap up the series because next week we have Vision Sunday. Can I get a what? Thanks, David. That was the most like shy and quiet what ever. Understandable. It's okay. It's not the nicest thing to say. I should have picked something cooler to say. But this is our last week of the Summer Best Hits series. Then we have Vision Sunday next week. I do have a word that I feel... God has placed on my heart, first and foremost for myself, but also for you guys here as well. And I want to just start us off this evening by asking if you've ever heard of the phrase, the walls feel like they're closing in. Is anyone familiar with this phrase? Yes. The phrase finds its origin in 19th century literary war stories. And I said the same thing this morning. That has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that I have a degree in literature that I've never used. And so there's all this useless like information just sitting in the back there. And that was one of the facts that was just sitting there. And so I just wanted to use it for fun. But that is true. It finds its origin in 19th century literary war stories. But you probably know it more as like a common movie or TV trope. So you might see like a hero running between two walls and the walls are getting like closer and closer together. Or you might see the protagonist in the middle of like a square room and the walls are getting tighter and tighter. Or the hero might even be running away and something is chasing the hero, much like what you see here. And I will explain. The same thing happened this morning where this picture went up like before I said anything about it. And instead of looking at me, everyone was looking behind me like, what is that? Anyway, my brain goes to like interesting places. And the first thing I thought of when I was remembering this phrase, the walls are closing in, is did anyone ever play Crash Bandicoot? Anybody? We got a couple of people familiar with the game. Anyway, I used to go over to my cousin's place and we would play it on their Nintendo 64. And there was this one scene in particular that's like imprinted in my brain where you are the character, Crash Bandicoot, and you're running like towards the screen and there's this boulder that's like chasing you. And as the boulder gets faster, the pathway gets more and more narrow. And I always remember this scene giving me like such anxiety because if you didn't outrun the boulder, then you'd end up something like what you see there, which is squashed. And sometimes I would get so nervous playing this round that I would just give in and I would just stand there and I wouldn't play and I just let the thing take me out. Now, why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm telling you this because I wonder if some of us feel that way today. Feeling as though the pressure of life is becoming more and more difficult to bear, and we're in a space where we don't know how much longer we can brace the walls of stress and pressure. And it might not be as severe as the walls feeling like they're closing in, but maybe more of a subtle feeling of heaviness, being slowly overwhelmed by life's pressures, trying to outrun deadlines, overcome obstacles, or stay ahead of the hardships life presents us. And if you're in that place or you know that feeling or you've ever been in that space, I have good news for you this evening. And that's that we have a Heavenly Father who wants to be the source of all of our comfort and strength. He is the great comforter, and he has a purpose, whether we can see it or not, he does have a purpose in every pressure and in every ounce of pain we experience. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this afternoon, how because we are in Christ, we can be comforted in our pain and hardship, and what that comfort actually means for us as people who are in pursuit of being more like Jesus. So we'll be looking at Paul's second letter to the Corinthians as our main passage of scripture. And in the text, we'll be looking at these two main points of how God is our greatest source of comfort. The first is that his comfort is powerful. And the second is that his comfort is purposeful, both for our endurance and to comfort others. So let me pray for us and then we'll get into the text together. Yeah, God, I do want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening with my brothers and sisters. And God, I pray, would you just speak through me? Let it be your words and not my words. God, I pray that our hearts would be receptive to what you would have to say to us. God, I pray that we would be changed and transformed by your word and we would be wanting to go out and apply that. And God, I thank you that you are our ultimate source of comfort, that you are with us right now. You are with us wherever we go. And so, yeah, God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here together. Would you be in our midst? Would you speak through me and in spite of me as well? In Jesus' name, amen. So just a bit of context. So we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians, which is a letter written by Paul to the church in Corinth around 57 AD. So it was a couple of years after he'd written his first letter to the Corinthians. The letter was delivered by Titus, and one of its main purposes was to actually validate Paul's position as an apostle. So there were many issues in the church in Corinth, and Paul had a number of things he had to address with them. But one of the overarching things he had to address was the fact that they were actually turning to other teachings, they were sort of turning away from the gospel, turning away from Jesus as sort of the main thing and the main idea, and they were being influenced by other teachers. Also, a lot of Paul's teachings to do with the Old Testament law being fulfilled in Jesus they didn't really agree with. And so Paul has a number of issues and concerns to address with them, but this isn't funnily enough how he decides to open his letter. Instead, he begins his second letter to the Corinthians, encouraging them and in thanksgiving, showing that although they were questioning him as a teacher and as an apostle, he still had a sincere love and devotion towards them. So that's a bit of the context for the passage we'll be looking at. And this is a good time if you've got your Bible or your notes or your church app. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 3 to 7. So we'll read through the whole thing, and then we'll go through and break it down. But we're going to be reading the same verses quite a bit, and that's because there's a lot of repetition in them, and I like the idea of reading them a lot and for them to kind of stick in our brains. I think that's a really good thing. So it says this, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Excuse me. "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So let's look at our first point, which is that his comfort is powerful. And this is true. God's comfort is powerful. In verses 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And I'm sure you heard the repetition there, right? He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. And you know, when we're reading scripture, it's really important to pay attention when we hear repetition, right? We know that the author is trying to emphasize something or tell us something specific. And Paul is showing the Corinthians that the comfort of God is not limited to how great their suffering is. It's not only accessible when things are going well or when they feel like they're on the right track. His comfort is always available in any kind of trouble they could find themselves in. You know, even in the tension of Paul's relationship with the Corinthians, some of the hurt and discouragement that he might have felt, he was still ready to remind them of this truth, that God is always ready to be their source of comfort. But why should we believe Paul, right? What about Paul should make us believe that he understands the comfort of God? Well, I think it's safe to say, if you've read enough of the Old Testament, that Paul was speaking from experience as someone who endured great trouble and persecution himself. In fact, Paul lists some of these troubles later on in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11. He actually shows them the sufferings he endured for the sake of Christ and for them. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's pretty full on, some of the stuff that he's had to deal with. And I was telling the guys this morning that it made my issues kind of shrink a little bit in comparison. I was at Carousel Car Park the other day, and I clearly indicated for a car spot on the roof. And then another car came, and they clearly did not indicate for the spot, and they drove in the spot. And I was ready. At this part, I didn't actually say at the AM, but I feel like I'll just share it now. I was actually, because the AM, I was like, oh yeah, no, you know, and I kept my cool and I prayed for patience and all that stuff, which is true, I did. But one little fact that I left out is I was ready to like honk the horn or do something silly and like poke my head out the window. But then I saw the dude in the front seat and I was like, no, I'm going to leave it. It's all good. It's not worth it. Anyway, not relevant. It just shows I let that really affect me. And then I read stuff like what Paul had to go through, and he still says that the comfort of God is powerful. And I'm like, oh, perspective. But 2 Corinthians 11, he says, this is him telling the Corinthians, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. And this is all for the sake of Jesus, right? The only reason he endured all this is because of how much he needed that gospel message to get out there. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. That's just a few like little things, right, that Paul had to go through there. And it really, I think it really inspires me as well, because it makes me go, if Paul could go through all of that and come out the other end really wanting to believe and encourage the Corinthians that they can believe in the God of comfort, I think that inspires me that in what I'm going through, I can encourage people too. But we'll get to that a little bit more later. See, Paul suffered many troubles, and I'm sure that especially in the things I just listed, he often felt like the walls were closing in on him too. However, instead of opening his letter complaining, angry, sorrowful, he praises the God of comfort for the comfort he's received. In 2 Corinthians 1:5, it says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Paul is acknowledging that the comfort of God is powerful, not just because it's always available, but because just as much as sufferings are present, so is his comfort, if we choose to see it. See, the sufferings of Christ in his journey of overcoming sin and death not only means that we have comfort and consolation in any circumstance, it also means that our present sufferings unite us to Christ as we receive comfort from our Heavenly Father. And that to me is a really, really powerful thing. Jesus himself said that those who suffer are blessed because they're comforted. In Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. His comfort, his consolation is expressed by Paul to the Corinthians as something he had experienced in abundance in the midst of his suffering. It is a comfort that abounded and increased all the more as his sufferings increased. You know, Martin Luther said this about God's comfort. He says, the comfort of God is a powerful thing and it can strengthen us in our weakness and give us hope in our despair. Friends, the comfort of God is powerful. It's able to comfort us in any trouble we may be facing. It can give us inner peace when things are not supposed to make sense. It can give us calm in our chaos and assurance in our confusion. He is the great source of comfort because his comfort is the most powerful. And so what does this mean for us today? I believe that if we're really honest with ourselves, all of us have areas in our lives where we need the comfort of God. But maybe one reason that we're not experiencing God's comfort the way he intended is because we're too quick to be temporarily comforted instead of eternally comforted. I wonder what things in our lives, what are the things in our lives that we turn to for comfort? And we all have them. Some may be bad. I know I have some of those. Others not necessarily bad, but not comfort from God. And I know I have those too. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, whatever there is in the world, and there are many such things which men call comforts, if you cannot be sure that they are such as God sends, let them be no source of consolation to you, but rather regard them with horror. May every child of God be able to make this discrimination and say, if God does not give me what I look upon as comfort, it will not prove to be a comfort. And maybe for some of us, we're unable to experience God's comfort because our default response in difficulty, in depression, in sorrow, in hard times, in speed bumps in life, is to be comforted by other things. While God can, and he does, use many different situations and people to comfort us, which we'll talk about more later, the most powerful and life-giving comfort we could ever receive will always come straight from him because he's the Father of mercies and he's the God of all comfort. Later on in the same sermon, Charles Spurgeon goes on to say that the fault with many of us is that when we have cast our burden upon the Lord, we beg him to let us have it back again. And if he grants us our foolish request, it comes back twice as heavy as it was before. Oh, that we were wise enough to leave our troubles with our Father who is in heaven as little children leave things with their Father. Then we shall find that he comforts us in all our tribulation. See, our Father in heaven not only wants to take our burdens, but he really wants us to leave them with him, to be comforted by him in our troubles. And so a good question for us to ask ourselves today is God really my primary source of comfort and consolation? And you know, for many of us, our answer might not be a straight yes. For some of us, our answer might be a no, a maybe, an I'm not sure. But I have good news for you even in that, is that just as his comfort is powerful, so is his mercy. Lamentations 3:23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If you've been turning to other things for comfort, you don't have a God in heaven who is angry at you. You have a God in heaven who is lovingly and mercifully waiting for you to turn back to him and receive you with open arms so he can give you that comfort and strength. Our God is a loving God, compassionate and ready, and I am convinced of this, ready at every moment to receive us with loving arms when we turn to him for comfort. You know, let's not allow the temptation to comfort with our own methods prevent us from receiving comfort from God. See, often when we face difficulties in life, we're actually confronted with our own desire to take control of our life. Our responses in challenging times say a lot about the areas we need to grow in, That's one of the beautiful things about struggles and suffering is God uses it to highlight these areas of weakness in us, not so that he can go, ha ha, that's an area of weakness, but so that he can say, hey, let me walk with you. Let me help you. Let me help you grow. Let me strengthen you. Let me comfort you. You know, I know for me, if I'm being pretty honest, a big struggle of mine is that I either look inward too much or I distract myself altogether. And I know that used to be more of a struggle for me in the past, but still can sometimes rear its ugly head. And an example of this is when I was 18, I had a friend of mine in high school pass away quite suddenly, one of my classmates. And at the time, my relationship with God was in a not great place. And so my first response when all of this sort of happened, and it sort of felt like a whirlwind, and when it all went down, my first thing was to distract myself. I did everything I could. Even I was still a little bit involved in things at church. Even that I threw myself into. Just whatever I could to distract myself from what was going on, I would just do it. I would be seeing people constantly, doing things constantly. But the thing with distraction is that while it might be good temporarily, it has an expiration date and it does not last forever. And so when the distractions didn't work anymore, I turned into like a bit of a Bob the Builder and I tried to fix it all. I tried to solve and correct, and in my own methods, I got to try and do this and try and do that and try and sort it out. But the healing balm for the ache that I was feeling could only truly be found in the arms of my Heavenly Father. And so I finally surrendered and I knew that I needed him. And once I did, and that wasn't an easy process, and that's still not an easy process for me today. I'm not speaking as someone who has figured this all out. I think the reason that this message speaks to me so much is because it's something that I'm currently working through. But once we do surrender to our Heavenly Father, and once I did that, he proved himself time and time again to be the great comforter when the walls are closing in on my life. And it wasn't just a peace over me, it's being at peace with God. And he wants to be that for us today, right? He wants to be our primary source of comfort. And so that's the first reason why he's the greatest source of comfort, is because his comfort is powerful, always available to us when we trust in him. But it doesn't just stop there. His comfort isn't just powerful, it's also purposeful. There are two main ways that the text teaches us that God's comfort has purpose. Firstly, it's for our endurance. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." See, one of the purposes is in receiving God's comfort is that it produces endurance. But it's important to understand what Paul means when he speaks of comfort. So the Greek word used here, and I butchered this in the morning, so I'm going to try and get it right. Paraklesis. I said paraklesis, I think, this morning, and someone came up to me and was like, "It's paraklesis." And I was like, "Oh, sorry." So I get another shot to pronounce it right. Paraklesis is the word. And this word doesn't translate the same way our English word for comfort does, right? So when we hear comfort, we think of like comfort food, or like, you know, it's not like comfort like a soothing type of thing, like, oh, I'm going to go home and have a block of chocolate or a tub of ice cream and that's my comfort. Or, you know, when you got that friend or that person that you don't really know very well, and then they like going through a hard time, you don't know how to comfort them, and you give them one of the like, there, friend. That's not what this is about. It's not that kind of comfort. This comfort is about encouraging and strengthening. It's more than just soothing sympathy. And funnily enough, this word paraklesis is also used by Jesus to describe the Holy Spirit in John 14:6. The word is used to describe the Holy Spirit as the comforter and advocate. And if we've received Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit in us, who is our comfort and helper, and that's given to us generously by the God of all comfort. So that's why Paul's able to address to the Corinthians that this comfort they can receive will produce patient endurance in them. This is why God's comfort has purpose. You know, when the walls of life are closing in, we can turn to the God of comfort, whose comfort is not only powerful, but purposeful in strengthening us to endure patiently. And as we experience God's comfort in difficult times, it actually increases our intimacy and our trust with Him. You know, the things that you turn to when times are challenging and times are tough, they're the things you actually build connection with, right? That's why when you have friends that are present with you during really difficult situations, often your friendship becomes stronger, or your marriage or your partnership with your spouse might become stronger when you weather the storms of life together. And that's because it builds resilience, it builds endurance. And the same goes with our relationship with God. When we're going through tough times and we actually make that, because that doesn't happen by default. Our default is not to turn to God in difficult times. If that's the case for you, tell me how you did that, and I would really love to hear it. But for most of us, our default is to turn to the things of the flesh, right? Or the things that are going to make us feel good really quickly, or the things that are going to resolve things fast. But when we patiently endure and we wrestle it out with God, that builds our trust and intimacy with Him, so that when another trial comes around, we remember His faithfulness in the one before. And so we're sanctified and we're being built up and we're being more like Jesus. And so His comfort definitely has a purpose in our endurance. And King David understood this principle quite well. Famous Psalm, Psalm 23, he says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See, there's a deep comfort that can only be experienced in suffering. When things are going well, we don't have need for comfort. And we also know that endurance through suffering is a common theme in the New Testament. Paul often spoke of the fact that our sufferings are for a purpose, for developing our character, for teaching us the life lessons we need to be able to endure. For example, in Romans 5:3, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance." And the best part is, if you're looking big picture, this is not a temporary comfort in our sufferings for a temporary kind of endurance. We know that because of what Christ has done, there's not only comfort in our present sufferings, but an eternal comfort. And that's why we can trust that if we're trusting in God and the suffering is lasting longer than we had anticipated, we still have comfort in and consolation in an eternal kind of resolution and comfort, shall you say. Revelation 21:4 speaks of what it will be like when Jesus returns. It says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And that's the eternal comfort that all of us who are in Christ have. Even if our present sufferings are still here, we have an eternal future and an eternal hope that we can always lean on and trust in. And so that's our ultimate source of endurance, right? Knowing that no matter what life throws at us, we can keep going if we're in Christ. And so the second part is, we know that His comfort is powerful. We know that it's purposeful for the sake of our spiritual endurance. But there's one more element, and I really want to land the plane and hone in here. It's also purposeful in that the comfort Paul and the apostles receive from Christ is also for the sake of the Corinthians, so they can comfort them with the same comfort that they've received. Again, we go back to verses 3 and 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Ultimately, receiving God's comfort is meant to have a natural overflow into the lives of others. And Paul expands on this principle later in 2 Corinthians 9. Again, same letter, so a lot of these principles keep coming up. He says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." See, Paul understood the principle that life in Christ is one that is lived for God and for others. And so it makes sense that when God comforts us, He intends for that comfort to be extended to those around us. See, if we remember all the things that Paul listed in 2 Corinthians 11 about all the trials and tribulations he had to face, we realize that part of his comfort to the Corinthians is that he was able to show that his sufferings were for the sake of Christ, And his sufferings were purposeful because it produced endurance in him. And now, because of that endurance, he has the ability to comfort the Corinthians. And our lives can be the same. Our lives can be a testimony of the comfort of God that has produced endurance in us in our sufferings. And so for us today, maybe you're someone who's experienced the comfort and peace of God, but you're not currently taking opportunities to comfort others in their difficulties and be intentional in this area. Maybe today the Holy Spirit is bringing someone to your mind who is going through a tough time that you can comfort. Be obedient to God today and allow the comfort He has blessed you with to be a comfort to others. And did you know that something wonderful actually happens when you comfort others even while you yourself are suffering? Because I'm sure that when Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, his suffering had not stopped. The persecution hadn't stopped, the trials hadn't stopped, the tribulation hadn't stopped, but he was still able to comfort the Corinthians. And in this process, you might actually find yourself comforted by God too, when you're sacrificial enough to still comfort people even while you yourself are suffering. Because we were designed for God and we were designed for each other. And when we take care of each other in our sufferings, God is glorified. Or maybe you're in the opposite position. You yourself find yourself in a tough spot, but you struggle to allow others to comfort you with the love of Christ. Maybe it's because you've been hurt before, or because you can't see how someone could possibly comfort you in what you're going through. But please, don't rob someone of the opportunity to exercise their faith by being a comfort and a blessing to you. And don't rob yourself of the opportunity to be comforted by those around you. Whether you can say it out loud or not, we all need it. We all need to be comforted, and we're all called to comfort each other. Tim Keller says this, the late Tim Keller, he says, "The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints." And let me encourage you today that we're all called to be someone that can be leaned on, and we're all called to lean on somebody else. Nobody needs to suffer alone. And there's a beautiful process of humility and Christ-like love that takes place when believers are willing to lay their pride aside, to take the time to comfort each other, to comfort and to be comforted. And whether we like it or not, we need each other. And there's so many practical ways that you can do this, even this week. Send someone a message, call them, encourage them. You know, I have very rarely found a time where encouraging someone is not appropriate. More often than not, it will make all the difference in their week. And be specific about it. I know that sounds silly, but the more specific you can be, the more authentic it feels. Think about what you're actually saying to that person. Get specific with it. If you notice that they've done something and it inspired you, tell them what that was. If you see, you know, that they're juggling parenthood and marriage and work and you think that they're doing an amazing job, tell them. Tell them. I think as Christians, we should not be stingy with our encouragement. We should be over the top with how much we encourage each other, even when we ourselves don't feel like we want to. Because the reality of it is, when you take the first move and you do that, the other person's probably not in that place either. And so someone's got to make the first move. Why not let it be you? And you'll be blessed by God for that. After the service today, or even after I message, ask someone if you can pray for them. I know it's a scary thing and it can be a bit daunting, but we all need prayer. I know I do. Anytime someone says, "Can I pray for you?" I say yes straight away. I don't even think about it. It's because I'm a bit greedy with it. But I think we all need prayer. If you're someone, and this is a big one, who struggles to receive comfort, be brave, be courageous, take a step and reach out to somebody. There's many people that you can talk to. And it's not shameful or embarrassing to say that you're finding things tough, because everyone is just in a different way. And so reach out and take the opportunity to be comforted by somebody, because that won't only just bless you, it'll actually bless someone else, because they're getting the opportunity to build trust and intimacy with God by exercising their faith in comforting you. Make checking in with at least one person a habit. Don't just live week to week and you just talk to the same people and see the same people. Extend a hand to somebody. And sharing your testimony is a big one. Share what God has done in your life with other people. It builds your faith and it'll build theirs, because you might have gone through something and you're a witness to God's faithfulness. You're a witness to God's kindness. Someone else hears that and goes, wow, if God can do it for them in their despair, maybe He can do it for me. And that's a really encouraging and powerful thing we can do. Be intentional about it. Be practical about it. Be sacrificial about it. And I think God will get the glory. God will get the glory, and we'll be able to take care of each other in a really unique way. Something that the church can do that you can't find anywhere else. And it's a powerful thing. And so I'm going to wrap things up, but let's remember that God is the great comforter. He's the ultimate comforter, because His comfort is powerful. He's able to comfort us in all our troubles. His comfort isn't temporary, it's eternal. It has the power to strengthen us, to guide us, to give us hope in any situation of life. His comfort is also purposeful. It's purposeful because it helps build us up. It helps build our trust and intimacy with Him, to see His loving hand in the midst of our pain and suffering. And it's also purposeful because it's intended to be shared with others. With the comfort we receive from Christ, we share that comfort with those around us to build each other up and help each other follow Jesus. And so I'm going to wrap up there, and we're going to have a time, as we always do. If you're wanting prayer for anything, maybe something about what I shared tonight spoke to you, maybe you're needing comfort and you struggle to reach out for comfort, and this is a step for you to apply what was just shared. To be bold enough and courageous enough to lay aside what you're feeling and say, hey, I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to stand with me. It's not a shameful thing. It's a powerful thing. And so, yeah, we're going to open the floor if that's something that you want to do. I'll be standing somewhere around here, and I would love to pray for you. But otherwise, we're going to, worship God together and go on with the service. So let me pray for us. God, I thank You. I thank You that You are the great comforter. I thank You that Your comfort is powerful. I thank You that Your comfort is purposeful. I thank You that You are always willing and ready to receive us with open arms. I thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace over every single one of us. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and what He did on that cross that brings us in right standing with You today. And so, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this evening, that if there's an area in their life that they need to draw closer to You and rely on You for comfort, I pray that You would highlight that to them right now. God, I pray that if there are people here who need prayer, would You help them to be brave, help them to be courageous and come forward and admit that they need someone to stand with them. God, if You're laying different people on our hearts right now that we can reach out to, help us to be obedient to You and message that person or call that person during the week. God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You love us, that You are kind to us. And so, God, I pray that You would give us the strength to apply this during the week and to remember You and remember the great comfort and love You have towards us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Why don't you stand? We're going to worship. And again, if you need someone to stand with you in prayer, I would love to do that. But yeah, otherwise, let's worship.